For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Next up on What's Trending, the NBA playoffs got underway this weekend. We're through the play-in portion of it. I saw a couple of players really being critical of it. Like, what the hell do we play 82 games for if I still got to play my way into the playoffs? All blowouts. Ass kicking is across the board. The Warriors got game one against the Rockets yesterday. Steph in an absolutely ludicrous shot. Cavs went one up on the Heat. The Wolves beat the Thunder won by 50 over the Grizzlies. Yeah. The Wolves other ran Clippers, over the Lakers. It wasn't real close.
No, other than the Clippers game against the Nuggets that went to overtime, and Christian Brown, local product, obviously had a huge shot at overtime. Other than that, the NBA playoffs for the opening week was not competitive. Wasn't that entertaining?
No, really, really bad start to the playoffs. But I don't know, maybe they'll get better in the later rounds. Like anything else, less regular season games, less playoff teams would actually be better. But we all know that the leagues don't go from less playoff teams. They just go to more. It's money. It's more money, more people watching.
Elsewhere, the Eagles and their center, Cam Jurgens, reached an agreement today on a four-year, $68 million extension. That includes $39.4 million guarantee that ties him to the Eagles through the 2029 season. That's according to Adam Schefter. His annual average per year or whatever is about like a half million less than Creed Humphrey's.
Couldn't quite top Creed, huh? No. Still going to be the top paid center. Normally, you get kind of jumped right away. He's going to get to hold that title for a whole year.
Center's probably that position that just, you know, the movement at that position financially is not quite the same as some others, I'm guessing.
But. Yeah, that's probably the case. Next up on What's Trending, both Sporting Kansas City and the KC Current won over the weekend. The Current stayed perfect in their 2-0 win, alone in first place in the NWSL, because the Orlando Pride went down. They had a goal. Scored late. I was at a friend's house. Even though I don't really watch it, a friend always invites me over for giant wrestling events. I make some of them. So I was watching WrestleMania.
Were you
on
locked
Saturday,
into that?
Locked in probably feels like a stretch.
Okay.
But did I watch part of it? Yeah, they always have to explain stuff to me. That's part of the problem.
So many storylines.
I don't know. There's like a lot of storylines, and I don't know all of them. So I need a lot of things explained. Like, why is this like old accountant looking dude just punching people in the nuts at the end of it? Why is he going against the people he apparently supported his entire career to go with Seth Rollins? I had to learn all that on Saturday. But the Orlando game, because his wife is a big NWSL fan, I watched the end of the Orlando game and the end of the Current game as well. So I saw that the Current remained the only undefeated team in the NWSL.
5-0. Hopefully some of our listeners that won some tickets from us on Friday enjoyed going out to CPKC Stadium. On the show, Drew strikes me as the person that would love WrestleMania and be into wrestling. He's not, but like I would have guessed. That would have been my guess, and he's not. Carrington was at WrestleMania, I think, this weekend out in Vegas. But that is what's trending here on Cody and Gold.
He was like live tweeting it, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was there. He was out in Vegas. I mean, the crowd is always insane.
You might as well go both nights. I don't know why you just go to one.
I'm sure it's expensive, you know? Might be a little. He was at Stadium Swim. He was at with our friends at Circa.
That's true.
On Saturday night, hanging out at Stadium Swim. It is the lunch hour. Hope you guys are having a great Monday. Of course, our new Monday lunch partner on the show is 30 Hop. Monday, $5.99 classic burgers. 30 Hop is the new go-to, an American bar and kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, expansive patios, and an unbeatable happy hour. They have a location out in Lee's Summit that's open, and next week, I believe on the 30th, they will open up the Merriam Grand Station location. That is just a few minutes down the road from us. Cannot
Stone
wait for that.
Throw, yeah.
They're a proud lunch partner here on Cody and Gold. 30 Hop truly has something for everyone. Stop in for lunch. Stay for happy hour. 30hop.com. That's 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio. They just dropped off some food too. So you can, I can promise you in the next break, we're going to find out what we got.
Well, I grabbed the receipts. Do you want to know what they sent?
Sure. Let's go through it.
Three appetizers.
All right.
The Bang Bang Brussels. I'm assuming that's a Brussels sprout.
I think that's a fair guess.
Buffalo cauliflower.
Okay.
And dynamite shrimp. So you're no shrimp for you. We'll keep that one away from you. They sent three entrees.
All right.
Truffle cheesesteak melt.
Ooh, yeah.
That doesn't sound terrible.
Oh, yeah.
A classic burger, the Monday deal you just mentioned. And then the yakisoba bowl. So grilled chicken and some of that. I'd be interested in any of those entrees and honestly, any of those appetizers.
I'm starving.
So great news.
I'm starving.
You guys can kind of make your choices. I would eat any of those six things as the least picky eater on the show.
Yeah. No, it all sounds great. The shrimp is just simply because I just can't eat. It has nothing to do with it. Just can't eat shrimp. But everything else, I'm in. During the break, about like 15 minutes or so, about to go in on this. Drew, you can come in studio and grab some if you want as well here. You can actually, you know what? You have the luxury. You can come in and grab some now. You can start eating it.
Tempted.
But no, 30 Hop, we're excited to have them aboard the show. And Monday's a hell of a lunch special. $5.99 for a classic burger. And I am excited. Just down the street, they're about to open up a brand new location. That nice new area there, the Grand Station Lofts that are out there, apartments. You got 30 Hop, a few other places as well. So
before we talk about the Royals, which we'll do here in about 30 seconds, I do want to remind you, the Cody and Gold Road Trip, it's getting popular. There's not a set number of tickets, so you don't have to worry about that. But at 96.5thefan.com, you'll see the link to the Cody and Gold Road Trip. We are heading to Springfield Saturday, May 3rd, to watch Cags hit home runs or do whatever he does. Right now, he's hitting like 260 with four home runs and 20 RBI.
That'll play.
And just 16 or 15 games down there in AA. We're going to Hammonds Field. We're meeting at a bar, Harbell's, beforehand. We actually got to call them. Remind them that we're coming, because as it sits right now, including us, we have 111 people going on this trip. So it's going to be a crowd. We're going to have fun before. Alex and I, we're staying down there. We're going to have fun after. Should be a really good time. We're looking forward to it. So if you want tickets, 96.5thefan.com. You can purchase your ticket there. If you want the shirt, we're going to be wearing the Cags one. That'll be sold separately. If you've already purchased tickets, you don't know where, text 913-586-7965. We can send you a link for an order form. We're on social media handles at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tap. We can do it there as well. Those are $10 as well. Optional thing. I'm guessing like 70% of us will be rocking them probably for the thing, but certainly not like a requirement. But I'm really looking forward to it. Did not hurt the Cags hit a grand slam this weekend to like keep the juice going. He was on a bit of a cold streak and then hit a grand slam, and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. That's why we're
going. And the early look at the forecast looks incredible for that that Saturday, May 3rd, when we're all in Springfield. We'll keep telling you about it. Appreciate everybody that's already signed up to join us, and I think we'll get over 150 people, it sounds like, with where we're trending for this trip in a few weeks. Let's talk about the Big League Club, though. They badly needed to get home. They badly needed to get away from that road trip.
Just get a breath.
Get an off day. They also just got done with a stretch of 17 games. They're off today. 2-8 road trip, and they were very fortunate that it wasn't 1-9. If we're being honest, 2-8 road trip. They get the win yesterday to prevent the losing streak going to 7. And we said going in the road trip needed bare minimum 4-6. Really needed a 500 trip, bare minimum 4-6, and they barely salvaged 2-8. And we all know the reason for it. It was all about the offense and the struggles. We'll get into the decision to send down MJ Melendez again a little bit later on. That happened on Saturday. But across the board, other than Bobby, they're really not getting much hitting, period. And I think for this team, if you're looking at where they're at, that win felt massive yesterday because you take a deep breath. But for it to be a massive win, it means it has to parlay itself into a strong week here at home beginning tomorrow when a bad Rockies team comes into town. And look, we talk about the offense for the Royals. Believe it or not, the Rockies are worse. I know it's hard to believe.
The records are very similar, but the Rockies' offense is worse for sure, and their pitching staff's in a little dicey front, too.
And so I'm sure they're saying the same thing. Hey, they're going to play a team that hasn't been hitting very well and all that. But if you are under the belief that this offense can figure it out, that they can get going, that some of the guys hitting the way they are is not going to continue, that eventually they will bounce back, this is the week. Really, there's a stretch of 20 games we can get to tomorrow, but this is the week for it to start. Rockies and then the Astros this weekend. You know, it's not often you can call for sweeps of series, but against this team, you dug yourself a little hole because of a 2-8 road trip. How do you get out of that? Can you level the field again? Can you get closer to 500 again? Well, this is a big week to do that, considering the opponent that you start the series off with, and you clearly are going to have the pitching advantage every single night, maybe in the entire week. I mean, there's not many nights where you don't anyway, but definitely in this Rockies series. Can you build off at all what happened yesterday and what I thought was massive. Otherwise, we're sitting here today. We're still talking about a bad road trip at 2-8, but we're talking about a 1-9 road trip, losing 7 in a row, an off day, thinking about the loss. Like, I think that Carlos Estevez win yesterday in extra innings was so big.
Well, especially because imagine the feeling the other way around, Gold. You're up 2-0, little bit of a little wobble from Waka where he gives up a couple of runs, you blow it, it's 2-2. And then, but if you had lost, you had the lead, you're halfway through the game, you get to Scooble early, and then you lose. They had to avoid the, like, this one's going to bury you. It's going to ruin the attitude of everything. And I thought they did a good job avoiding it. Winning against Scooble can give you a little, like, phew. I'm not saying they went out there and scored a ton of runs. They scored 4. What's crazy is with their pitching staff, they don't have to be an elite-level offense. They just have to be
okay. Not the second worst.
They said to be not the second worst offense in the league. And look, the MJ stuff, which we'll get to in just a minute as well, like, that's part of why they made those decisions, right? Like, they had to make those decisions. If you go through, there's no way to sugarcoat where the offense is. And that's the single biggest reason why they just had a miserable road trip. 2-8 is a miserable road trip. I don't care how good the baseball teams are that you're up against, and they were good. The Royals would not hide any other version of that. And they just still have so many guys that are off. I am curious to see, and we'll know more on the lineup tomorrow, if moving Vinny down was more of a permanent thought, or I thought it was just because they were up against Scooble and they didn't want him hitting so high in the order.
Might be both. And we're going to find, as you said, we'll find it tomorrow. Maybe a combination of both. Mark Canha, never thought we'd be sitting here in the first month of the season saying, man, he's one of their best hitters, but he is currently. The way he's performing, he's going to give them professional at-bats. He's not pressing the way some of the younger guys on the team are. And yeah, maybe it was just Cody, the pitching matchup, but I think there's something to be said. If you move Vinny down in the order, that's not a long-term thing. Of course not. But for the time being, if they were to do that again tomorrow, let's say against Colorado, and I don't know if they will, they might move him right back up to the three spot in the order. But if it was to take some pressure off him, not make him feel like he's got to come up huge in every spot because nothing's going and he's pressing, then it was a smart decision, but we'll find out tomorrow when the lineup comes.
They're 5 games under 500. Had I told you that they're 9-14.
Yeah.
If I had told you 23 games into the season that Salvador Perez was hitting 182, Vinny was hitting 195, Massey was hitting 197, and Hunter Renfroe was hitting, let me find his, 140, you would have also assumed they were 5 games under 500, Gold.
I would have assumed they were worse.
Yeah, that was
sucks. I would have assumed they were like the White Sox. They were 5-15 or something right now.
Yeah, like the results based on the offense are not like an MJ is hitting 173. They got more guys hitting in the ones in the starting lineup than they got guys with a batting average that starts at 2. And the batting average, it's always a lot lower than you think. Major League Baseball batting average right now, the average is like 240 or lower. So, like, it's all in that. Like,
yeah, but when you're, I hear you.
No, you got,
but they're the second worst offense in baseball.
No, I'm saying you don't have to, like,
yeah.
I don't need you to, like, hit 500. What I was trying to say is, like, you don't have to hit 500 for the next 2 months in order to start being back to, like, a league average player. Right now, I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. is a star, and thank God for him. Where would the offense be without Bobby? What if Bobby started
slow?
Well,
they'd be one spot worse. They'd be the worst offense in baseball.
Yeah, that's probably the truth of it. So they just got a lot of work to do. The one on Saturday, like just the start of the series, you're like, oh my God, this is going poor. And then when we all, because at least this, we all went into that Sunday expecting to lose. And I'm glad that they didn't. Because every person on the planet was like, you've lost 6 in a row, and now you got to be on the road against Tarek Skubal? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And your offense is the second worst in baseball? Good luck. Good luck seeing how that all plays out. Unless Waka throws a no-hitter today, you're probably cooked. And thankfully, it didn't go down like that. Yeah. And they managed to hold on.
But this is another, just like the road trip was, this is another big week and even bigger because of the hole that you dug yourself a little bit on the road trip. But the reason why I still will push back on those that will say, well, season's over, like someone texted in, another year where that's football season already on April 21st. The reason why I'll push back on that and kind of roll my eyes back at it is when you have a top 8 pitching staff in baseball, you can't tell me on April 21st the season's over when you're 500. Like that's why. Now, am I promising you that in 3 weeks the offense overall is going to be much better and they're going to be above 500? I cannot promise that. I don't like where it's trending. But on April 21st, just saying the season is over when you still have a massive strength in all of baseball on your squad this early and you're not 10 under 500 or something, No, I can't get there. Now, look, if they get swept by the Colorado Rockies, we're having a different, conversation.
Friday. Yeah, I'll be ready to really.
Saying the season's over because they're five under 500 on April 21st. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get there. And I know I'm always a little bit more when we're talking about the Chiefs too. It's my style. I'm always a little bit more, I'm a little more patient with that kind of stuff. We run into this during football season when it's week four and people want me to call for people to be fired 4 weeks into the season. Same thing. Like that's just not how I operate when talking about sports. I try to wait a little bit and not overreact 3 weeks in. And maybe that's not a mentality that some of you like, but that's how I approach things. I think you're a little more patient on the baseball end, Cody, because it's 162 games.
More leeway, with hockey and NBA, like football. It's like, we talked about this isn't even but Drew's team's a perfect example of why football, you don't have that much time to mess around. Like in the NFL, they've messed around the Bengals for the first 4 to 6 weeks, the last 2 years. And as a result of that, their ass is at home in January rather than playing in important games. And so in football, a lot less leeway. You only get a career of 4 years. So you just go burning a year of not being a good football player. You might not be a good football player. And so there's a problem there. But with baseball, I mean, some of it is last year. And some of this is returning to the average. I think Vern pointed this out on a social media video. And it goes to the same thing. The Royals last year were second best, I think, in baseball in hitting with runners in scoring position. That's why Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby Wood Jr. were all going to be 100 RBI guys. I'm just rounding Vinny up for the sake of he would have been there had he not gotten his thumb broken. So they're all 100 RBI guys. This year, they're hitting 205 with runners in scoring position. Their problems on offense could be solved not even just by everybody hitting with a better average, but just hitting when runners have a chance to score closer to the average they hit last year. Not even all the way back up to it. Because right now, and the reason why I'm willing to be more patient is the pitching. If their pitching was also bad, I think we would be burying this team.
Sure. Correct. But they're a top eight, pitching staff in baseball this early in the season. That's why they had a chance. What did you scar? Oh, we just caught Drew mid-bite. What are you scarving down over there from the Dirty Hop? He took the burger. I guess we'll have to find something. You took the burger.
I saved the melt for you, Gold, because you, by the sounds of it, the reason I didn't take
the melt. You can either have the grilled chicken bowl or you can have the melt, the cheesesteak melt.
Oh, I'm either one. We'll figure it out during the
break. The way you reacted to the melt, I wanted to.
Oh, it sounded good. I mean, the burger sounded good too. How was the burger? Or you're still mid bite?
It is so very good.
My bad.
Burgers can't miss.
$5.99, man. $5.99 on Mondays.
30 Hop, the new Monday lunch partner here at Cody and Gold. That's what we're talking about. In case you missed that at the beginning, they brought by some food, which we're very much looking forward to eating in the next, I don't know, five to seven minutes.
More reason to break. No, I'll be honest. This is always the toughest part. The toughest part, it gets dropped off and I gotta wait 25 minutes. You're just staring me in the face right there.
Listen, it was like 12:10.
This is where we talk about the next thing real quick and then we go to break a little bit earlier so you guys
but
can,
that doesn't change the amount of time I have to eat. Getting to break 2 minutes earlier is not going to solve the amount of time I have to eat it, though, is the problem.
This story that Drew's referencing, though, is pretty wild. This is with Kent State. They fired their football coach. And they didn't have a good season. Drew was giving us a lowdown. They won, two games or something like that last year?
He has a career record of 1-23.
Woo! Okay. Quite so, bad. 1-23. He did not get fired due to performance, they claim. It's because an investigation determined that he took over $100,000 in loans from a booster who was also a school vendor. So they fired him on April 11th. He was placed on administrative leave in late March. The school never gave a public reason for why he was placed on leave or fired. According to the Akron Beacon Journal, an independent investigation by an outside law firm found that their head coach had received six figures in loans from this individual starting in the middle of 2023 after Burns said his house had flooded and he was having financial issues because he had not sold his house in Minnesota. So this guy's trying to help him out. There was no evidence he paid any interest on the loans. The loans are a possible violation of state ethics laws, preventing state employees from receiving benefits. He was making $500,000. As their head coach, a story in November claimed he owed $24,000 on the bank had sued him for a lack of payments. The bank got a judgment in its favor. It was dismissed after he paid back the money. So this guy was dealing with some financial issues. He asked the booster, "Hey, can I get a loan?" He said, "Sure." Turns out it's against the law. Turns out you can't do that.
Why is that against the law?
You're a state employee.
I think you should be allowed to take money from boosters. I'll just say it.
Do you see why this could be a problem?
He's a state employee, but it's not like.
Do you see why this could be an issue?
If he was in the state senate, sure, I agree by the nature. He's a college basketball or football coach. Who cares? If you're just a college coach, state employee feels like, I feel like that's in place so that I'm not bribed for infrastructure deals. What's this guy going to do if he could takes a bribe from this guy?
Maybe not as much football coach, but could you see how like a university, someone high up in a university getting money from a booster, somebody with influence like that as a state employee could be a problem.
How much was the loan for?
$100,000
Okay. He made year one, he made $475,000.
Yeah, he made a half a mil.
And then it escalated.
Well, he's obviously
to
not good with his money. He said he probably had a drinking and a gambling problem, which
the
is
article,
dangerous. Some, he said probably, allegedly might have had those problems. Yeah. So, like, you know, if you got those, the money spends a little faster, you know, taxes, you know.
Well, and this comes originally, a month ago, they put him on leave with pay.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is.
Clearly, he it sounds like he violated state law, but also the fact that he was 1-13.
He was 1-23.
Or 1-23.
They did not win a single game.
Might have made it an easier
decision
to say, you know what?
What if there's like an endorsement thing? Is he allowed to take an endorsement? Or he's just not allowed to take any side money at all?
He as
feels
a state,
like he's being limited the way I don't want players
not,
limited, you
he
know?
He could not take funds from a booster. If you wanted to help the guy out, no problem. He just couldn't get the money from someone tied to the university as a booster event.
When Nick Saban was coaching at Alabama, he's making money from Progressive as like an endorsement. Like Dion's making money, I'm sure, from Aflac. I'm sure he's making money on the side. It's just not... The booster aspect, I guess, is what triggered it. But, yeah, I think they could have covered up the whole thing and just said, you know what? He stunk as a head coach. We're moving on. And just not glossed over it, but moved on from it quicker without this being, a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it feels like they wouldn't have fired him if he was winning it at 800 clip. They
you're
had
saying,
to figure
you're
out
saying if he was suck uh-huh. or if he was
I'm just telling you right now, Bill Self does the same
Smart.
Thing. He keeps his job.
Uh-huh.
This feels directly. Day. This is why I think he should be able to get away with it. The law is not. We think this is bad, and it could be bad for people. The law and the way they're seeing this is, it's bad because he's bad, right? He stinks, so now we care. I don't think there's a way.
I don't think there's a dispute though, based off like the letter of the law. He broke the law.
Yeah.
Right. Like that. Yeah, that did happen.
No, I'm not denying that part. That does appear to be the case. You know me, I like to work in a legal gray area.
No, I think also I get why you mentioned the example, but. The difference is this guy, and that's still a ton of money, right? He was making $500,000. Difference, a coach making $5 million is not asking probably for a loan.
Yeah, let me go see how much Ryan Day makes, and then we'll compare, because they're both in Ohio. Let's see how much.
Ryan Day makes so much, he's not even.
That's what I'm saying. He's not asking for money from somebody.
Although, even at
Ryan
that amount of money,
$12.5 million.
You got a big enough problem, you can still.
Hold on, he makes.
I mean, he just won the national title. He deserves what he's making. He's one of the top coaches in college football right now.
He was making 200 times. Or 200% more than what Kenny Burns is making then, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, I mean, one guy's at Ohio State. Think about the athletic budget. One guy's winning national titles.
All three of us would kill to make $500,000.
Of course.
So, like, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'll go
Kent State right now, and I promise not to take any bribes, okay? And I won't take any bribes from any of the boosters.
Will you be better than 1-23?
I won't be worse.
You not winless.
I won't be worse.
What they went last year.
I won't be worse. How about that? I will at least get a single win as the Kent State head football coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we do our
all right, so Drew's going to break 100 at Augusta. You're going to win a Division One college football game as a head coach.
I don't have to problem play quarterback.
Solved. Problem solved. So, I mean, that's more likely than Drew's breaking 100. I'll tell you that.
This also means that when we do our college football tournament here in the summertime, if we have it again,
Cody's got to be Kent State.
You have to be Kent State, Cody.
One of the worst teams on the game.
Can I change 100%. Some of the sliders up?
Nope. One of the worst teams on the game.
You have to be.
I'm not going to win my matchup anyway, so I might as well go down swinging.
Coach your football team, Cody.
All right, up next, it's draft week, so let's get to the latest draft rumblings that are out there, plus the random question of the day. I asked Drew to add like 5 more minutes so I could finish my lunch. He said, we can't do that. He said,
so boss won't allow that to happen.
He said, it's not possible.
He had all the time in the world. He came back in for shrimp.
That's right. He did. I will say, the next segment I'm going to finish this yakisoba
I was
bowl
never going to be able to eat all of it, man.
Was really, really good. Yeah, I still got some
if
more.
If you wanted me to add an extra 30 seconds or a minute,
nope,
I mean,
can't do it.
Not enough.
Can't do it.
Not enough.
I can tell you it would have been done.
Yeah, no. Very, very good. Go see our friends at 30 Hop, our Monday lunch partner. Here on Cody and Gold, brand new location open up next week in Merriam, right about down the street from us at Grant Station. And then, of course, right now, for those of you in Lee Summit or near the Lee Summit area, perfect spot. And on Mondays, $5.99 burgers. Draft, Thursday night. A lot of rumblings out there today, Cody, about what could happen. Not so much with the Chiefs. There's not a lot of rumors new today, but it could impact the Chiefs and what's available at 31. And that is even starting in their own division. Adam Schefter says there's a lack of teams that want to trade up, which makes sense based off of how we've at Draft Experts analyze this one for us, whether it's Bink, whether it's Matt Miller. And by the way, Bink and Chris Unocero have their show tonight, the draft special right here on 96.5 The Fan. But Shefty's saying the one team that is at least inquiring about trading up is the Denver Broncos, a divisional team. They're picking 20th right now. So what are they trading up for? How many spots?
It's got to be offense, right?
I think it's offense. I think it's tight end. Ashton Jeanty would be a guy they love, but are they going to move up 10 spots or more? I don't know.
Unless Abdul Carter is going to 11 out of nowhere, which I don't think is going to be the case.
That's where I wonder, do they trade up 6 spots to get a Loveland, the tight end, or a Tyler Warren, the tight end?
But I mean, right now, a lot of the people think Ty Warren's going maybe in the top 10. Like, the Jets have serious interest. Mm-hmm. So, like, for some of the players that are just elite-level talent, talk me into how they sink. Find me a way that Ashton Jeanty gets past the Bears at 10. Find me a way that Ty Warren gets past the Jets, honestly, at 7. If those teams aren't taking quarterbacks, unless it goes Sanders at 3, Dart at 7, or Dart at 9, I'm having a hard time seeing the player they're going for that isn't Colston Loveland, or if they're huge fans of Amarian Hampton or McMillan.
Yeah,
like,
could be.
Like, if it's McMillan or somebody of that ilk, I could see them saying, you know what? We're finally out of the cloud of the Russell Wilson contract because now they don't know him. We got 2 more squeeze years left of Bo Nix before he's like starts getting more expensive. Really, like, they got 4, but you know how this works.
Yeah.
They got a couple years left to squeeze out of the he's a cheap quarterback, let's load up around him time. I think it's got to be offense. I could see Tet McMillan because they have said, like, there's some draft people who think he might fall right through because it's all the stuff they're actually accusing Burden of, like, mm-hmm. his work ethic or he quit on the team. It's all the same.
He doesn't finish routes.
He doesn't finish routes.
He's not the fastest. His 40 time also is kind of hurting him. But yeah.
So, like, there's a couple of guys who normally seemingly would be way up there in that first round, Burden and others. Maybe they're just in love with one of those guys. I can't figure it any other way. I'll be honest. It's going to be an impossible year to try to trade down. In the top 10, it's going to be hard.
It's not actually a good year to have a top 10 pick in a weird way.
When we go to the draft party at the Landing on Thursday, I don't think I'm going to predict a trade in the first 10 picks. I think I won't. I think that the first 10 will just be the 10. Yeah. I think that the teams who are picking there are going to be those teams, and I don't think we see a pick. And I saw offshore. You and I were seeing it in the break. 4.5 trades was the offshore number.
Yes.
For total. I think it's below that because I don't think we get one in the first 10.
Yeah, it might be 4 trades, no more than that. I'm with you. Maybe lean towards the under, but I still think there'll be a move in the top 10. The reason why is because the Saints are at 9, and if they want to just take one of the quarterbacks, then no. But I could see, even though it's difficult to trade back, is there another team that's interested in another player trying to leapfrog somebody that's picking 10 or 11? Is there a team at 12 or 13 trying to get in because a player slides that they didn't think was going to be available? So the trades to me will not be about trading for a quarterback per se. If it happens in the top 10, it would be about trading for another player that slides because we get more quarterbacks than we thought in the
top
10.
For some reason,
10.
Abdul Carter goes to 4, then I probably change my opinion. But I think he's going 3rd overall to the Giants.
Yeah, I know Thursday we'll do our final picks and all that. Like, I don't – Abdul Carter, to me, if he's not the 2nd overall pick, and I don't think he's going to be, I think Travis Hunter will be, the Giants at 3 – unless they've been smokescreen season the whole time and they just take Shador Sanders, it feels like Abdul Carter's the easiest pick there at 3 for the Giants, right? Like, if you're not going to take Sanders and Hunter's off the board, Abdul Carter is just like one of the easiest pick you can make at 3 if you're the Giants.
I think the biggest thing that's going to happen on Thursday that we're not giving enough credence to, so we know the 3 teams that are definitely taking a quarterback, the Titans, the Saints, and the Steelers. Unless Aaron Rodgers tomorrow, which clearly does not be the case, is taking one. Those 3 teams are taking a quarterback. But what's going to happen, what happens every year, is the 3 that we think will take a quarterback but take them lower and just, see what happens with a 2nd or a 3rd round guy, which is the Jets, the Browns, the Colts, the Rams, I think, belong in this conversation because of the age of, the Raiders because of Geno Smith, the Seahawks. One of those teams I just mentioned that isn't the top 3, I think they're taking one of the bigger names. I think they're going to end up taking Dart or Sanders, and it's not going to be just the 3 teams we think are taking the 3 best quarterbacks are taking the 3 best quarterbacks.
There have been mock drafts.
Way more mocks have Dart going.
Somebody else is going to want those.
They've had the Rams getting Dart. I've seen that multiple times when going through and picking out mock drafts for us to take a look at the Chiefs.
I think Dart can go first for sure. I think, in fact, over under 2.5 quarterbacks, the over, you can't even bet it now because it's minus 400. Like, it's just, it's so juiced now that you'd have to bet $400 to win 100. Like, it's unbettable unless you think it's all smokescreen, only 2 are going. I don't, but I also think three is all we're seeing. Like, I don't think we're going to see four quarterbacks. I really don't believe Jalen Milroe, despite being invited and all this kind
and
of stuff.
And accepting the invitation,
and
right?
He accepted it. The only way Milroe would get drafted, I guess, in the first round is you tell me that Sanders goes three to the Giants. The Saints feel like they have to take Dart at nine. The Steelers still want a quarterback at 21. I don't know. And at that point, this is why the Steelers could have done themselves some favors and set a deadline for this Wednesday for Rodgers. We need an answer Wednesday. Make it happen. If not, we can pivot on our draft plans.
Like, it's cool. We understand. But that's the other thing. Like, Adam Schefter had his big, like, things we're hearing. Week of the draft. Things we're hearing. One of the things he had talked about in there is, what the hell happens with Kirk Cousins? Because Kirk Cousins is stuck in no man's land. The team is stuck in no man's land. You and I both agree. It seems fine for you to say, we're not trading him. We love our guy, Kirk. Which is not true. But I understand why you say that, because you're in the middle of, like, maybe trying to shift him. The rumor he said in this was that if they can get it down to the acquiring team would owe him $10 million, which he says they can do contractually, it's just about a willingness, that there are a couple players for it, and the Steelers being one of those. That, if you don't have, like, honestly, like, Rodgers is the better choice because you don't have to give up draft capital, and he'll cost just as little as Kirk Cousins. But, like, that's not the worst fallback plan in a draft in which you don't trust the quarterbacks.
Well, I don't think Kirk Cousins is...
I feel like they'd get something out of Kirk Cousins in Pittsburgh, you know?
I don't
think they're a contender, but they'd get something out of it.
I don't believe Kirk Cousins will be the backup quarterback for the Falcons this year by the time it gets to week one. Yeah, I think he's getting traded before then. They can act like all they want that they're fine with that. There's no way the guy that got benched for the last year's rookie, now second year player in Michael Penix, is not just going to sit on his ass all season behind making, what is it, $40 million, $25 million guaranteed or something, $40 million overall. I don't buy it. And so I think, yeah, they'll redo the contract to where it's a tradable contract. Kirk Cousins will want out so bad eventually that they make it happen. And yeah, keep an eye on what happens in Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones battling for a QB spot. Who's the odd man out there? Does that prompt a trade to Pittsburgh? Does that prompt a trade anywhere else? You know, Kirk Cousins, I don't think, is going to go to Minnesota unless JJ McCarthy gets hurt during OTAs or something terrible like that. Otherwise, that doesn't seem like a real destination. Cleveland balked at trading for Kirk Cousins because they didn't like the dollar amount, and now it seems like they've kind of moved in a different direction. They claim, right? But after signing Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. So trading for Kenny Pickett too.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he might be traded this week. Like, what are you going to do? You just kind of do all the offseason. Then you're just banking on the team who has a quarterback get hurt.
See, I don't think he gets traded until after
trade
the draft,
for Kirk
though.
Cousins. If you know, like, I just don't, you know,
I think you have to wait till after the draft now, because if you're a team at this point, though, there is no incentive for a team to trade for Kirk Cousins before the draft. I want to see how the draft board falls. I want to know, was I able to go get my guy, Jackson Dart, Quinn Ewers, whoever you like that you think
Tyler
can be
Show,
that.
Yeah,
I don't know why you would trade for Kirk Cousins till after the draft concludes and you know where the dust is settled, who you did get, who you didn't get, etc. I just don't think they'll do a trade before. I think you're right that
maybe
it could happen. It could happen on Saturday or something. Yeah. You know, maybe that's right. Maybe it's Saturday on day three of the draft, and it's clearer then.
It is really interesting how Tyler Show has all of a sudden just been like the talk of the town for everybody. Where
true, so, I didn't know that name until 3 days ago.
Schefter in his article said that some teams have him as their number one quarterback on the board above Cam Ward.
I think that I'll be honest. I think that has to be smokescreen stuff.
I'd be saying that if I wanted Jackson Dart.
Yeah,
I'll tell you right now,
yes,
that's exactly what I'd be telling every team if I actually wanted Jackson Dart. I'd be like, oh, but the guy I love, Tyler Show,
for all of a sudden, guys that, like you said, Gold, you don't even know the guy, for somebody to go from like third round pick or whatever to the number one quarterback on the board is in the matter of a weekend is crazy. It's got to be a smokescreen. There's no conceivable way. Plus, look, if they wanted to say that all of a sudden Quinn Ewers was his pro day was very good,
mm-hmm.
But if that might be one thing, but he's 26 or he's going to turn 26.
That's so old.
It doesn't make any sense how he would actually be the number one quarterback on anybody's board.
And discrepancies happen on draft boards. Everybody's different. Once you get to the second, third round, not the first round, you know what I mean? Like, there's discrepancies, but not to that extreme. Look, the Chiefs have, what did Brett Veach say last week? 202, 203 players on his draft board. There's other teams that don't have the same players on their board at all. There's some players that the Chiefs have way higher. That's what who the Chiefs take in the fourth round might be a guy other teams had as a seventh round pick. Like, that kind of stuff happens all the time. What you don't usually see is this kid,
mm-hmm.
that nobody was talking about as the number one quarterback on the board out of nowhere. This doesn't make any sense. Now, could he go higher than Quinn Ewers or Milroe? Sure. Absolutely. I think that's in play. But we know Cam Ward is going number one overall. The question is, does Dart go ahead of Sanders? Does Sanders go to the Saints? Does he go, you know, does he surprise everybody end up in the Giants? Does he go to the Steelers? Like, Sanders is still going to be a first round pick. We all agree. It's just where is he ending up? It's not a great quarterback draft class. So that's how we could see some craziness happen. But I think we're seeing three quarterbacks go in the first round.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I don't know. People get hungry for quarterbacks and crazier stuff had happened. But for a draft this deep, it makes no, not a quarterback, but at the other positions, it makes no sense to be reaching on like a Jalen Milroe in the first. It makes no strategic sense in this draft to be doing that. The fifth year option would be the only argument. And even that, I would say, what exactly are you doing with it?
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, the random question today is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week, then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. Question I have today is related to Easter, which took place yesterday, and we were getting in an internal debate of the normal stuff you normally would, which is not Easter specific. I will open this up to any holiday, and this could be homemade or store-bought. I want to know your favorite sweet candy or treat that is holiday specific. You're not getting this thing in July, Easter candy, because I'll just tell you right now, the Starburst jelly beans are way up there. Way up there on the power rankings of candy specific to a holiday that you only get at that time. I can make an argument for a Reese's egg. I actually think the trees are a little bit better than the egg. I know that's off board, so I'd probably rank the tree ahead of the egg, so I get back into Christmas time for that. I don't care if it's ribbon candy, if it's anything specific that's around a holiday, that's the thing I want to know. Either dessert or candy, what do you think is the best holiday-specific one?
Yeah, so the Reese's peanut butter eggs are pretty darn incredible. So,
it's up the list. The peanut butter and chocolate ratio, very good on
those. It's really good. That's up there, and I don't know if this one counts, but like those really expensive, but just they're overpriced, but they're the Lindor milk chocolate things that I think you can buy
you
them year round,
like
but
eight in a bag. You,
but
only think
you have to admit though, like they literally melt in your mouth. They're incredible. So those are the two that, but for whatever reason, I only have those in like December, even though I think I could go buy them in the store right now, but you don't want to have those in July.
No, they don't feel right.
They melt in your mouth. So they're going to melt when you're in, you know, in the summertime, even if you just take it out of the package.
That's how I feel about the chocolate orange. You guys ever have those?
I haven't had chocolate
orange.
They're
like, what's the brand? Oh,
I'm glad you didn't say Peeps, because those are terrible.
I haven't had one in so long. I don't.
Awful.
My daughter got some. We went to the movies like a couple of weeks ago when I let her choose Terry's. That's the chocolate orange I was thinking of.
Okay.
Terry's chocolate
orange. Someone says s'mores.
S'mores? Is that a holiday? I mean, I guess, do we think of that as being like a 4th of July? Someone mentioned Bomb Pops for the 4th of July. Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
It is summer specific, yeah. I will say. I'm not anti that to go with there.
A lot of Cadbury.
Someone says
eggs.
The Snickers egg, which I haven't had in a while. Cadbury, which one? The cream-filled eggs or the like malted milk ball? Because I like those better, but they make my teeth hurt after like two. Now you like two of those like malted ones.
You like the malted balls?
And then they're just like, it's just too much or something. I don't know. The ratio's off, you know? That's why I'm asking. I want to know which one this is. So those are the suggestions. Is there a dessert you prefer any of the high holidays?
I mean,
is there one that like hits the best?
Not a high holiday, but I mean, I still like it, you know, around Thanksgiving, I still love pumpkin pie with a little Cool Whip.
Okay.
Pumpkin pie with some Cool Whip, still so, so good. And I only have that around Thanksgiving. I don't have any other time of the year.
I mean, pumpkin pie, would it feel weird if I brought in a pumpkin
in July,
pie right now?
Yes. Yes, it'd be very
even
weird.
Now, it just wouldn't seem, it would seem off or off-putting in some way. Some part about it would just seem weird and bizarre.
Someone says just a simple peppermint candy cane. They just want the OG.
Wow.
Just the OG.
I mean, I think they've overshot on the candy cane flavors.
And there's different, flavors.
But I'm just saying, we've gone too far.
You don't like
gone too far on the candy cane flavors.
Like, give me a flavor you think is too bad, like the bubblegum flavored ones, too much?
Bubblegum flavor in general is an awful flavor.
Hmm.
It's not good in anything. Hmm. Not even bubblegum. I want like a minty gum.
I mean,
I don't even like gum flavored gum. I just want like the rest. I just want like, you know.
What if it's in a bucket or something? Do you not? What about that?
That's a little different.
You like gum in a bucket or no? I didn't know if you like that still.
My brother once pooped in like a gum bucket.
And a what?
And a what? Oh, man, what? That clip will never die on this show. Yeah. But there's lots of it. Someone said they said it's Snickers brand. It's shaped like an egg. That was the one that I hadn't seen before. Do you had one of those before?
No.
Snickers egg?
No, I have not.
Oh, man. I'd like the jelly bean
Reese's
Christmas
ones too, don't they?
Reese's one we talked about Reese's. Earlier. Yeah. That one's like right way at the top of the list. I didn't do an Easter basket for my kids.
What?
My in-laws did it.
They need two Easter baskets. You made it so like, okay, they got one, then they're good. They got one. I thought you were just saying they were without one, period.
No, they got one, just not for me. I felt like if they were getting one, they didn't need the other one. The other one, I mentioned I was remembering more Easter candy. The sweet tarts, the like chicks and bunnies, also very good.
Sweet tarts?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You guys like a sweet tart?
I like sweet tarts, but the chicks and bunnies thing, I don't know.
It's like, I don't know. They shape them like Easter. It's Easter specific.
Sweet tart flavored.
Yeah, I haven't. You want to talk something I haven't had? Sweet tarts. It's probably been 15 years.
Since you had one?
Since I had a sweet tart.
This is just all the stuff that like I get around my kids, you know. Easter or Christmas or whatever.
Somebody from the text line mentioned it. The simple like Christmas peppermint candy cane. You just can't go wrong. That's my favorite.
He mentioned. I mean, that is a good one. Too. Who has anyone had the Easter gummy cluster? Pro gummy cluster. There's an Easter specific one. I wanted to know how that ranked amongst.
No. Like the Nerds clusters. Mm-hmm. Or?
Oh, there's an Easter version. What's the difference for versus the normal Nerd gummy clusters?
I don't know. I just knew that there were. I saw it on
colors?
The shelf.
Oh,
well, okay. I think no, because like you know, like now the Nerd they don't have just a regular. They got like the berry. They got like a million flavors of those too.
The ones that my nephews liked recently, they saw in the store just because the Shackalicious gummies, to me, they probably taste terrible, but they're called Shackalicious. And because, you know, my nephews really like the NBA and stuff. And because they're shaped like the Shaq's face, like it's Shaq's face on the gummies. And they're very popular, I guess. But I
haven't had them.
I've never had, to me, they're one of those where they probably are just, there's some where you just know they're going to taste like crap. Something strikes me.
You think it's a bad?
Yeah, it strikes me as those are terrible.
Little Debbie Christmas tree cakes getting a mention over on the text line. What is your favorite? We've talked about this before. Drew, what's your favorite Little Debbie?
Oh, man.
Or otherwise, you know, like that.
This is easy. This is so easy.
You know what? I don't remember your answer, and I'm going to guess.
The Cosmic Brownies are bomb.
I thought that was a very strong consideration.
Still could be.
For Alex's.
Still could be.
Damn it.
Still could.
Oh, man. Because I was between that. I thought about a cosmic brown. That was really high on my list.
I'm gonna say
Alex's favorite is a zebra cake.
Swiss cake roll.
I thought of it that one too.
The Swiss cake, like a ridiculously unhealthy amount as like a kid, having the Swiss cake rolls, like an absurd amount. I would go through. Now I tried to have one. They don't taste as good to me as they used to. But yeah, the Swiss cake rolls.
I used to love the zebra cakes, but I ate so many, I got sick to my stomach. And since then, I don't think I've had, it ruined it for me.
Wait, so the Texans give me a hard time.
What?
About the not giving an Easter basket related to the backpacks and the Mother's Day gift.
This is true. What do you give your children? You know, people are asking.
Wait. If my kid is going to get an Easter basket somewhere, how many Easter baskets are they supposed to get? Isn't one enough?
One from their direct parents, you know?
But we don't like go to, you know, like.
Not the in-laws, from you guys.
It's such a loose.
From their mom and dad.
So what's the difference?
So you're saying that they woke up yesterday morning.
With nothing.
With nothing.
Correct. They said, Happy Easter. I said, okay, Happy Easter. And then we went and did flower pots and we lived our lives.
That was it.
Okay. No Easter basket.
Did you do like an Easter brunch?
Yeah, we went to my sister-in-law's house for Easter brunch.
Okay. Is that where they got the baskets?
That's where they received the baskets. Okay. They weren't in my defense, because clearly we've set a precedent here, they weren't like, hey, where are our Easter baskets? They are noticeably missing from this living room area. They said nothing about it other than, when are we heading to
your aunt's house
for Easter? That was it.
So you're saying at a very young age, you just established it. They don't get a damn thing on Easter from you. And that way you don't have to change.
In fairness, at this current time, it has not been a gift-giving holiday in my personal household.
People are asking, are you anti-Easter?
Not anti-Easter. It's fine.
So we never, to my knowledge, I don't know when it stopped, but we didn't really get Easter baskets like that after.
There's a trend.
Like 5 or 6 afterwards. So, like we would get some candy, but we would do the Easter egg hunt, of course, and everything, but we never got the basket post like 6 years old.
Dead serious. There's a current trend on like TikTok and Instagram and all this of adult children being mad at their parents for being cut off on the Easter basket. Oh, and some of these are like, I'm 26. I'm dead serious.
If it's Christmas?
It's like, I'm 26. My sister's 28. My brother's 30. My parents didn't give us Easter baskets. And they're like on video being like, what the hell, mom?
Whoa.
There's no way they're serious.
All I'm telling you is
they're my age
and they're complaining? Yes.
Oh, this is just, yes. this is like you said, this is a trend. They're just trying to go viral. I'm not buying that. There's 27-year-olds out there actually mad their parents didn't give them a damn Easter egg basket.
Look, maybe it's engagement farming.
I think it might be.
Telling you is that there's a lot of people complaining that their parents have cut them off from the Easter basket in their 20s. The initial trend started, I think, because these people who got old enough that their parents were giving them to their children and not them were like, hey, what the hell? I also want an Easter basket, not just this kid.
I wish I would have known about this before, because I would have told my dad, who just turned 59, to tell his 92-year-old grandmother,
where's
my Easter basket? Like, excuse me?
Yeah. That is the random question of the day. Cody is getting absolutely destroyed.
Eviscerated.
On the text line, 913-586.
I'll get him some Easter baskets.
7965. Definitely. Oh, yeah. You can get that discounted candy today. Today's the day. Discounted Easter candy everywhere. All right. Up next, we'll talk about a player that was obviously sent down over the weekend for the Royals. Will he ever be back with the big league club? And what's next if things don't go well this week?